Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We are in a series based upon what I call the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. It's in our theme for the year, 2020 Vision. This is Vision from the Mount, where Jesus speaks to the people that were following him and says, "You are the salt and the light of the world." He doesn't say the religious leaders, the pastors, the Pharisees and the scribes are the salt and light. No, and that made them mad. He says, "You are." He said, "Blessed are those who seek after righteousness." Now, the righteousness Jesus spoke about was not self-righteousness. The Pharisees and scribes were arrogant. They believed they were close to God because of what they did, and they really thought highly of themselves. Jesus speaks about a divine righteousness, a righteousness that comes from God, that transforms one's life from the inside through the power called the grace of God. And by that grace, we live a different life. We know we have the Holy Spirit who shows us our sin, our need for a Savior, and empowers us to live differently. And Jesus talking to those who follow, this is what that should look like. You've heard it said, do not murder. Well, I say do not hate. That's the next level. If we're going to be the salt and the light to the world, the way people see us as Christians, we should always be a little higher. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. I say do not lust. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye. Well, I tell you, turn the other cheek. Do not take revenge. You've heard it said, do not lie. I tell you, let your yes be yes, your no be no. When it comes to his followers, Jesus says, if you're going to give, Dr. Spomer spoke about that. If you're going to pray and if you're going to fast, don't do it for the show. Like the Pharisees and the scribes who are nothing but hypocrites. Do it because of who you know. For your Father who sees what you do in secret. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand. Do these things in secret. Will reward you. The good news is this. Whatever we do, because of who we know, that God promises a reward. Now, in this message, Jesus turns now to the people, and he kind of has a message directly pointed to them, not talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, and he uses his surroundings. Think about it. He's on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. What are you going to see? Grass, lilies, birds flying. And he says to the people, do not worry. Look at the birds. You can just see them flying over. Do they fret about what they're going to eat? No. Look at the lilies. They're so beautiful. Do they worry about what they look like? No, nor should you. Have you ever worried about anything? I'm sure you have. I have. Let me tell you the antidote to worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Put God first in his kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? It's first of all the kingdom of power. He's the creator. He's all powerful, all knowing. It's the kingdom of grace that changed your life and can change people's lives and can enable you to live a different life. And then the kingdom of glory. We live here in this beautiful world and we look forward to the one to come. And we can tell other people about God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be granted unto you. Then Jesus takes something that if you're at the lakeside, you're going to find a log or a plank from a boat. Okay. Even in your house, let me tell you what you'll find. Down trees or planks, 2x4s. And Jesus, he takes an object and teaches a very important lesson. Now, if I tell you the most quotable passage in the Bible or most remembered or most quotable passage in the Bible, it would be Genesis 1 because people just, they seem to know that. In fact, If I say to you, in the beginning, you would finish with
God.
Well, now, for Christians, the most quoted passage in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Good news. Now, when it comes to the unchurched, the unbelievers, or I'm going to even say make-believers, you know what passage they love to quote? The one that Jesus speaks today to each and every one of us from Matthew 7, verse 1. Here it is. This is what they love to quote. Judge not. And I'm going to say something that many of you are not going to like. They're saying that rightfully. Yeah. What they're doing is trying to excuse themselves, okay, and justify they can do whatever they want. And if you try to judge them and say that is wrong, they'll say to you, judge not. Yeah. Well, today we're going to take a look at that passage and see what Jesus is referring to. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Oh, ouch. Now, what we have to do is when we look at Scripture and look at what Jesus says, we can't take it out of context. Okay, it's so easy to do that. This is just Bible interpretation 101. What is the context? It's in a sermon where Jesus is talking to people about don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and do another. Let me give you an example. If I tell you, do not paint unless you match the paint, you're going, oh, huh. That makes sense. Okay, my wife wouldn't let me do that. If I tell you, do not drive, if you've been drinking, you'd be going, huh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Now, let me take it out of context. Pastor Dreyer said, do not paint and do not drive. So I'm selling my car and I'm never going to paint my house. You see how ridiculous? People love to take stuff out of the Bible, out of context. What Jesus is saying, do not judge if you're a hypocrite and doing exactly the same thing. In fact, we know this because Scripture interprets Scripture. That's another thing we learn about biblical interpretation. Is Jesus saying never judge? No. Why do we know that? Because in the Old Testament, who establishes the judicial system? God. Okay? We have to have a just system in our society where judges have to judge. Teachers have to judge grades. Parents have to make a judgment call with their children. Officials have to judge sports events. Jesus is not saying that. What he's saying is don't be a hypocrite. Let me read something to you. Scripture interprets Scripture. John 7, verse 24. Do not judge by appearance, the words of Jesus, but judge with right judgment. You see, we're being a hypocrite if we judge somebody and we play God. Well, I know what you're thinking. I know why you're acting that way. I'm not going to that meeting because I already know how it's going to turn out. We see somebody with tattoos and we say, oh, I know who they are. We see the way people are dressed and we go, oh yeah, I know why they're dressed. No! Don't pretend to be God. Don't think you're all-knowing and you understand. You don't know if somebody made a mistake and got a tattoo and regret it for the rest of their life. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the trials and the tribulations they're facing. So quit judging by appearances. Huh. Or if you're committing a sin, don't judge somebody else. It's like somebody who is married and is having an affair. with another person, and they see a high school football player flirting with the cheerleader, and they go, oh, how immoral, terrible. We go, what? That's the plank in your own eye. And we are good at that when we judge unfairly, when we judge by appearances, because we are sinful and we make big mistakes because we're not God and we're not all-knowing. Reminds me of the woman holding a baby on an airplane. Maybe you've experienced this. And the baby's crying. And it just won't settle down. And during the flight, a gentleman next to him is so fed up with this, he shouts out, would you keep your baby quiet? Can't you do something about your baby? And after regaining her composure, the lady said, well, I am not. This is not my baby. I am not this baby's mother. Well, obviously, he said, can you find the mother so she can do something? And after a little bit, she said, well, her mother is in the luggage compartment in a coffin. And I agreed to fly this baby to the only remaining family this baby has. You understand when Jesus, the measure you use will be measured unto you? Jesus is saying, be careful. You don't know somebody by their appearances. You're not all-knowing like God is. You know your own sin, and never forget that. Because if you truly want to help somebody, to take that little speck out of their eye, then you first have to be humbled. Blessed are those who are meek and humble. Take that plank out of your own eye. What are we learning? We're learning, hey, can't take anything out of context. This is a difficult passage from the Bible. What are you going to do when somebody says it to you? We know it's about being a hypocrite. We know that Scripture interprets Scripture. Don't judge by appearances. We are to judge. We learned this from the Bible within our own ranks. As Christians, we must call right from wrong within our ranks. Meaning if somebody is sinning, the Bible says, or sins against us, we need to go to them with gentleness and humility. If we have wronged somebody, we need to go with gentleness and humility and say we're sorry. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We love because we've first been loved by God. Why do we stand on right and wrong and do make judgments, calls within the church? Because we want to restore somebody. If somebody is straying away, we don't want the devil to take over. We want to say, hey, this is wrong. Please don't do this anymore. We have to do that within our ranks as the church. And the Bible is very clear in how we should do that. But one of the areas that Jesus warns at the end of this little message that we have to be so careful with is judging the world. Yeah. As a Christian church, as believers, followers of Jesus Christ, we have to take a stand. We know murder is wrong, and so we protect infants in mothers' wombs the best we can. We know that the Bible clearly says marriage is between one man and one woman. So we take a stand and say, this is what we believe. Because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. But what we can't do is take the holy word of God, this pearl of great price, and condemn the world. You see, we make a big mistake as Christians if we think we can shame people into the church. You meet somebody who's unchurched, somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and you judge them by the word of God. I'm telling you, that's wrong. Because what you're doing is you're taking the holy word of God and you're throwing it out there thinking that you're doing the right thing. And you know what will happen? People will trample on it. Don't judge me. They'll trample and they'll get angry at you. Yeah. No, we're supposed to take a stance as Christians on the word of God. But you don't shame somebody with it. Because let me tell you, that is just wrong. We are to be different. We're the salt and the light of the world. We're the change agents. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And when God brings people through those doors or into your life, don't try to shame them. Judge them into the kingdom. Love them into the kingdom. I don't know about you, but if you're married, your spouse may know this about you. They can read your face and tell you about your day. If I'm hungry, I walk into the house and my wife goes, "Oh, you're hungry, aren't you?" I'm going, "How do you know that?" If I had a bad day at the office or at a meeting, I walk and she goes, "What happened to you?" And I'm going, "Whoa, how does she?" She reads me like a book. Maybe you understand that. Well, let me tell you about the unchurched. Let me tell you about the unbelievers or make-believers. When they walk through those doors, they read you and me like a book. And if they see judgment on your face, they will turn around after the service and never come back. The number one, or not the number one, a big complaint about Christians, they're so judgmental. Listen, when people come through these doors sent by God through the Holy Spirit, and you look at them, look at what they're wearing. Don't they know any better? He's got a hat on. Doesn't he know how we operate in the church? The answer is no, they don't. The Bible says do the best for the Lord, and they're wearing flip-flops. Oh! Look at those tattoos. They read you. And Jesus is saying, if you're the light and salt of the world, seek first the kingdom of God. You are the connection. You're the ones I'm sending. You have a mission. Love that person who I've sent in there. Don't judge them. You're a sinner. You're not all-knowing. Take the plank out of your eye, that self-righteousness, that indignation that you think you're so holy, and treat the unbeliever. Because our goal, what, is to bring them in. So when they come to know Jesus, we don't say, change your behavior before you come in those doors. No. Come on in. No matter what your behavior, no matter what your life is, we want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, and he's got the power to change somebody from the inside out, like he's changed you and he's changed me. And so we got to be so careful when it comes to judging. That's why Jesus said, it's going to be trampled upon and you're going to be attacked. Let me tell you how Paul states it. The words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, when he talks about, okay, within the church, we have to be careful and we got to make sure that we're leading God-fearing lives. But when it comes to the world, listen to what he says. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outsiders. You don't have to. I'm going to get you. You're all off the hook. Don't judge the world. You don't have to. God's still in charge. When it comes within the church, yes, but when people come in, don't judge them. Love them. Why? Because it's the salt and the light thing to do. We don't want to make a mistake because we've been guilty. And since we're not all-knowing, we can make big mistakes. It reminds me of another person who was about to get on an airplane. She had a few minutes before the board, boarding was called, so she went up to the coffee counter and got a cup of coffee and a bag of cookies. Maybe you've done that sometime in your life. She sits down, opens up her coffee, and starts drinking. She reaches in, gets a cookie from the bag, and as she's eating that cookie, she notices that the person right next to her, a man, reached into her bag and got a cookie. She snorted. Oh, the nerve. But she's a Christian. And she knows that she should love her enemies. So, she looks over there and he smiles at her. And she just kind of, okay. She eats her cookie, reads her book, and drinks. She reaches over and grabs another cookie. And he does the same thing with a big old smile. Well, she inside just snorts again. Oh, can't believe this guy. Who does he think he is? She eats that cookie. Well, they do this back and forth until there's one cookie left. And with a big smile, he reaches into the bag, breaks the cookie in two, and hands half of it to her. Okay, now, of course, this was before the pandemic. Okay? Well, boarding is called for her plane. She grabs that cookie, shoves it in her mouth, snorts and glares at that guy, grabs her coffee, closes her book, puts it in her purse, and goes to her airplane. She finally is seated. She sits down, drinks a little coffee, and she says to herself, the nerve of that guy. Who does he think he is? What an arrogant guy to eat my cookies. Oh, I can't believe people act that way. Oh, she's so upset. She can't settle down. So she decides to get a piece of gum because the airplane's about to take off. And when she reaches into her purse, she pulls out a bag of, her cookies. Who was the hypocrite? Who was in the wrong? Who was being arrogant? Who was stealing from someone else? It was her. Now you know why Jesus says, be careful. The measure you use will be measured unto you. What are you going to take home? Hopefully a few skills about interpreting God's holy word, the pearls that he gives us. I hope you'll take home an image of a plank. Take the plank out of your own eye. When it comes to judging, be so careful. You're a sinner. They're a sinner. Don't overdo it. Where is your heart? Is another message that is throughout this wonderful sermon by Jesus. Where is your heart this morning? Is it humble? Is the righteousness you seek that comes from God? Know that you don't have to condemn and judge the world. God's in charge, not you. But when he sends us people coming through those doors, let's be the best greeters. Bobby has been greeting for how long? But you know, we're all greeters. Everybody's reading us. And when we become a church that is welcoming, loving, non-judgmental, I believe God will send people and we'll grow. And lives will be changed by word and sacrament ministry. And by followers of Jesus Christ who seek the kingdom of God first. And they are the salt and the light of the world. That's a privilege. And if you fail, confess it. If you've judged wrongly, confess it. Listen to the words of Scripture. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We judge wrong. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, why would he do that? Because of Jesus who died on the cross, a divine sacrifice. And when you're forgiven, this is what Jesus says, follow me. Wow, what a loving, caring, forgiving God we have. And we get to share that with others. We do. That's exciting. Amen.